Welcome to the show. It's called the Family Meeting, where you can say what the hell you want, not get yourself a beating. What happens here stays here, unless it's too damn funny. Our boss is the relative, so we can bribe them for money. You may be offended, you may even cry a tear, because you heard something your kids shouldn't hear. So kick the kids on out, or hell, let them listen in. But don't blame us when they take them away. So let the show begin.
Time for the Family Meeting on NWCZRadio.com.
This is Jason Curtis.
John Curtis.
And I'm Rebecca Curtis.
And coming up this hour, we've got Krista's not here. If you couldn't know, if you didn't notice from Rebecca saying she's here, we've got Krista's news with Becca, because I don't want to get smacked when Krista comes back. We've also got a special guest that's going to join us, but let's go ahead and kick things off with Armchair Cynics and Believe on the Family Meeting. Welcome back to the Family Meeting. That was the Armchair Cynics with Believe. I just got completely lost because
the producer
Becca just hosed me with my countdown. It just went from five to zero.
Becca puts her hand in the air, countdown for five. Ready? And you're on. Whoa. Usually she misses three. Usually she doesn't miss four, three, two, and one.
Usually it's just the one number she misses, but she missed all five that time.
Well, you know, I decided...
She has a lot going on over there. She has a mic in her face.
That's true. This is the first time she's produced the show and tried to talk at the same time. Yeah, she doesn't multitask very well.
It's a little like chewing gum and walking.
Okay.
You know, bubble
gum. All right. Well, as I said earlier,
we do have a note.
Yeah. Our guest tonight is the creator of Life Without Robots, a site where he combines photography and humor into a one-of-a-kind web comic. He has been telling jokes since his first words and holding a camera almost as long. His work can be found at lifewithoutrobots.com or by searching Life Without Robots on Facebook. Welcome to the show, Mike Smith.
Thank you, Jason.
And thank you for writing your own intro. That was nice. Anytime somebody takes some of my work away from me, they are welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
I got to say, it's a funny site. I went there last night. I looked at it. Me and Aaron were sitting there looking at the site together. And it's funny because if you watch The Big Bang Theory, me and Aaron were sitting there looking at this. And Aaron looks at me and she goes, I feel like Penny. I don't get it. She goes, is that a Star Wars joke? go to the next one. That's a Star Wars joke.
I will take being compared to The Big Bang Theory any day of the week. That's
yeah, great. I can think of worse shows to be compared to. So welcome to the show. As I said, let's go ahead and just jump right into it. Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up on Whidbey Island, Oak Harbor. I moved there when I was 9, so that's where I consider I grew up.
Okay. How long has Life Without Robots been around?
I started it in October of 2010. So a bit over a year now.
Okay. And like John said, I went there. I figured since we're going to be on the show, I better do a little bit of prep. And I actually checked it out. And what makes it even funnier for me is I know a lot of the people that you're taking pictures of. So I'm looking at it just, and I was laughing my ass off. But some of the stuff on there is pretty damn funny.
Thank you.
Do you remember when you got your first camera?
Vaguely, as you said in the intro, I've been holding a camera as long as I can remember. I do remember my first camera was a Fisher Price camera with rubber ends, so I must have been fairly young.
You would hope so.
I would hope so.
every it was picture, last week.
Every picture you took was of a sunset. I had that camera too. It just spun around in circles. Or
it was a Viewmaster.
Who would you credit to being your idol in the world of art and comedy?
Oh, gosh. I feel like those are two convergent worlds, and it's really hard to answer that question. But I do dig a lot of Ansel Adams' work and also Asahel Curtis. There's an exit named after him on I-90. You've probably seen it. Asahel Curtis was the first photographer to bring pictures of the West back to the East Coast. So I think that's pretty cool. As far as comedy goes, I really appreciate Lewis Black. I like his cynical, tell it like it is, I don't care what you think, I'm in this for me style.
I like both those photographers. Incidentally, when I was in high school, I failed photography. And then the next semester, I was the assistant. And because I just didn't like doing homework. And I think we all know that. But the kids weren't so happy because they were like, "Didn't you fail this thing last semester? Now you're in charge of me."
And John's like, "I've been in charge of you since I walked on campus."
Yeah, what's new? What are you talking about?
What would you say your webcomic is kind of like, or what do you want it to be?
What do I want it to be? Well, I want it to amuse me. That is kind of my internal mission statement. Is I write things, I produce things that make me laugh and entertain me laugh. And if every entertain me laugh, that's good English. if everyone else wants to come along for that ride, that's great. If not, I'm still going to do it because it amuses me.
Cool. Hey, do you have any swag available on your site? T-shirts, mugs, anything like that?
There is a link to a Cafe Press store on my website where you can get swag.
Sweet. What was the first joke you ever told?
Is it
radio friendly? I guess
it is radio friendly because I was very young.
What the fuck is radio friendly? I think it's okay to say.
Okay, if you were on a terrestrial radio station, would it be radio friendly?
Yes. I only remember it because I don't remember telling it, but I remember telling another joke. And my grandfather, my late grandfather, who was hilarious, told me that my jokes were getting better and compared it to a joke I had told him earlier. So this is a joke I told that I heard about secondhand.
That's how John hears most of his jokes.
I must,
dude, you said the funniest shit last night. Oh, really? What was it?
I must have been 3 or 4, but I think the first joke I told, which again amused me, I didn't care what other people think, were two guys were walking down the street. One fell down.
I'm glad your humor improved.
Thank you. But to a 3-year-old, you've got to admit that's hilarious.
Yeah. I guess if you were 3, that would be a lot funnier than a bunch of guys pushing 30 sitting.
Well, I can totally relate because my sister and I had a horrible joke that was a knock-knock joke. And it'd be like, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Mickey Mouse's underwear.
Mike's joke was hilarious.
I like how Jason put in there that there's a couple of guys sitting here pushing 30. You
yeah,
old
and
man.
I'm pushing 40.
Yeah, I like how yeah, you put that
I,
in there.
I wanted to latch onto that 30 number for just a little while longer. How'd you come up with the name Life Without Robots?
When I started the website, it actually had a different name, which I didn't like at all. And I hadn't registered the domain yet or anything, so I was still free to do what I wanted. But in those early days, I was really focused on the shapes of the words that I put on the images, and I was going for kind of a flow. And I've evolved past that in my style now, but I really liked the shape of the phrase Life Without Robots. When I put it on 3 lines, it had kind of this diamond shape. And it also, there's nothing else out there called Life Without Robots. So that made search engine optimization and walk in the park.
Nice.
You were first on Google. I will say that. You won that. You won that war.
Woohoo!
Well, I guess we should also, for people that haven't been there, what is Life Without Robots?
Life Without Robots is, I call it a photo comic. It's kind of the next evolution of the webcomic. There's several others out there, such as Tiny Ghosts and Skidmore Bluffs, websites like that. And that one I really like. I all of a sudden can't remember its name.
Life Without Robots?
Well, yes. Anyways, I wanted to do something because I always have these one-liners running through my head. And I've always been into photography, and I just kind of combined the two to make a webcomic because I can't draw. So I used photography instead of drawing, and it's a way for me to show off my mediocre photography skills and have that kind of candy-coated with the humor.
Nice. You think there's any rules to writing comedy?
Oh, it's all about timing. It's really all about timing. I did a lot of stage acting in high school, and my first lead was, what's his name? He winds up being Ernest Jack in The Importance of Being Earnest, and that's a comedy. And I was told that my timing was great, and ever since then I knew comedy was about timing. So when I started writing instead of speaking, I really had to figure out how to use the placement of the lettering and the shapes of the lettering to induce the timing that I wanted the reader to hear in his or her head.
It works well, too, because when I was on there last night, we were scrolling through the pictures, and we would scroll down, we'd read the top of it, and then there was like another line halfway through the picture and then on the bottom, so it got delivered like a joke with the, you know, the setup and the punchline and everything all the way through. It wasn't that you could like just look at it and skim the whole thing. It was set up nice like that.
Awesome. And that is more difficult because I'm only doing one panel comics. I'm not doing 4 panels
yeah.
or 6 panels or whatever. So I really have to pay attention to that spacing. Whereas if I was doing a multi-panel comic, I could save things till the 4th panel or whatever.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself fully committed to Life Without Robots?
Oh, yeah.
Or should you be
blast.
Fully committed?
I'd love to be more committed, but I have a day job. So I do
artists.
Miss days here and there, but I really try to keep up with it. And now that I'm about 5 comics away from 200, and I'm over a year into this, and it's become a habit, really.
Maybe you should hire yourself a robot, and to then you could have.
I don't think you understand.
You don't think you get the timing thing down? Wow. Do you use feelings to help people understand what you're trying to get across in your on your comics?
Do I one more time? Sorry.
I'm reading the. Let me find my sheet again. I threw it away because that was the last question I had. Do you use feelings to help people understand what you're trying to get across?
Not sure I quite understand the question.
Well, let's ask the person that wrote the question exactly what you were trying
I'm
to say.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm not sure what I was trying to ask.
She was really tired this morning when she was writing her questions.
I apologize.
I'm trying to induce a feeling in people, if that's what you mean. I'm trying to induce
laughter
because,
well, I guess you kind of do. I mean, you're taking these pictures and you're writing things over the top of the picture, so I take it that you want someone to feel something when they look at the picture and then feel something else after they read your comic.
I get it. Okay.
And I don't know if that's what she was going for. I'm just trying to help her out a little bit.
thank you. That
trying
really
to dig her out of the hole.
Most of the time I do try to match the picture to the joke. That doesn't always work. I have a folder on my computer full of images, and sometimes I'll have a joke and it won't really go with any of the images, but I'll put it on something pretty.
That happens with regular comedy too. They don't always work.
This don't work. Fuck it.
Problem is you're throwing it out there on the internet. When you're doing live comedy, you're standing in front of people and you know when that shit don't work.
And that's what's great about the internet. I don't have to care what people
instantly
think
you know
about
that
it.
Shit didn't work. So we always ask our guests 10 quick questions. First thing that pops into your head when you hear the question, Becca, since you guys have known each other for a long time, wanted to be the one to ask you these questions.
Let's do it.
All right. So just real quick, like the not meant to be like real.
And a warning, you might feel like Penny during some of these questions.
Okay. How long have we known each other?
5 years-ish.
Are you shy?
Am I shy? Do you think I'm shy?
I don't know.
I don't think I'm shy.
But are you shy? Oh, okay.
No.
Do you know what's going on?
Vaguely.
Do you know the game and how to play it?
I just lost it.
Could you ask me how I'm feeling?
How are you feeling?
I'm good, thanks. Are you blind?
Sometimes.
Is comedy something you've ever thought of giving up?
I think it's too much of a part of me to give it up.
Has someone ever let you down?
This morning. No, I'm kidding.
Oh. Did you feel deserted?
When I lived in the desert.
Do you cry when people say goodbye?
No.
Does it hurt when people lie?
No.
Have you ever been Rickrolled before?
Constantly.
You just were been Rickrolled.
Oh no, are you kidding me? Oh, I get it. Well played.
Thank you.
Coming up, we've got What's Happening. We've also got Krista's News with Becca, but let's go ahead and get back into the music with Young Vici and BLC on The Family Meeting.
A bad chick, what more can I say? Got a shorty in New York, got a shorty in the A. She could do it how I like it, make it bounce in every way. She could take me out the hood and take me to a getaway. Ain't no shorty do it better, ain't no shorty on the scene. Okay. I'ma be a freaky king, she could be my freaky queen. Okay. Getting up in the Hummer, nah, in the limousine. She could do it how I like it, and she knows what I mean. Then my love to make her scream, so I hit it from the back. She could tell I'm from New York, she could see it on my hat. Hey, hey, cause you know we get the best. Shorty carry all the curves, body looking like a S. And I gotta keep her fly while she keep me looking fresh. And she fishing in the kitchen, and the goldie I'm a catch. Magic in my new heavy pot. The dudes ain't related, but they hate it cause I got the best little chick you ever seen. Ever seen. Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen. Ever seen. Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen. Ever seen. Show me in the whole scene in the magazine. Official. Yeah, she on my side, she the lady I be rockin'. Only shorty in my ride, she know me, it's Vinci. Know the handle biz, ain't a lie when I say no shorty fresher than she is. She got the medicine, even got the remedy. Took us know my so long I lose energy. Never been an enemy, watching for my enemies. Shorty is the skish, nah, shorty is the enemy. Every time I see a shake, when she on her own, I just call a piece of butter, wait up, you should be on her own. I can satisfy your body and your mind with your soul. So cool, I'm the one nigga to give Keisha a hold. No more rookie, now you messing with a pro. If you feeling what I'm feeling, don't be shy to let me know. You can spot it from the car, walking right up to the door. Baby girl, run the show, hey, hey, cause they know.
Got the best little chick you ever seen.
Ever seen.
Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen.
Ever seen.
Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen.
Ever seen.
Show me in the whole scene in the magazine. Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen.
Ever seen.
Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen.
Ever seen.
Yeah, I got the best little chick you ever seen.
Ever seen.
Baby, yeah, stand up. In the magazine. I got the best little chick.
It's a boy, Young Vince.
Ever seen. Yeah, I got the best little chick.
Troublemaker all day. Traveler. I see you. Let's go. A billion.
Welcome back to the family meeting. That was Young Vinci with BLC. This is where we just kind of go around and tell you what we've been doing this week. And I have a little stutter because I just put down about a quarter bottle of whiskey. I was like, what have I been doing? Really, everybody knows that it white stuff fell from the sky this week. And
not just in Tacoma like normal.
This is actually, I don't know where, I forget where I was. That happens
really?
A lot. But I forgot where I was.
That's a shock.
And there was this girl talking about the people from California were making fun of us.
Yeah. Yeah, they were
like, it snows a little bit and your whole city shuts down. And so this girl behind me, I don't know who it is, she goes, let's just see what they say when there's a big ass earthquake. And I looked at my buddy, I was at school. That's where I was. I looked at my buddy and go, did that bitch just pray for an earthquake? I think. And he was like, I think so. I was like, that shit is rude. Whatever.
Well, the beauty of that whole thing is the reason why our city shuts down is because there's so many people from California that live here now.
Yeah, and you guys don't know how to drive.
Yeah, exactly.
A bunch of a-holes. I have a four-wheel drive Subaru. I'm going to just fly through this stuff.
I thought that too until the snow got higher than the bottom of my car, and then I just parked that shit. I didn't go nowhere.
when it snowed a couple years ago, I was picking up people to go to pool league, and I have an all-wheel drive Volvo, so I'm that same asshole I was just talking about, except I also know how to drive in the snow from being a truck driver and ski instructor and stuff. But my Volvo only got stuck one time, and that was because the bumper had been plowing so much snow that it had built up a barricade in front of my car, and I had to back up and then go around because it was too deep. Well, it's not my car is lowered, and so it's, you know, it picks up a lot of snow anyway.
Yeah.
But so I was that a-hole. What else did I do other than just sitting here watching TV and drinking up all of mom dad's liquor because they had power this weekend this week?
And you didn't.
And I didn't. I was over at Aaron's house the other day, and she thinks that Dane Cook is hilarious, right? Like so many girls do.
No, not all girls think he's hilarious.
And so she's like, I'm going to put it in and you're going to laugh. And I was like, I highly doubt it, but whatever.
Isn't that supposed to be your line?
I hope not. Bazinga. Damn. So she puts it in. Okay. Let's just back up. Okay.
Oh, can I check out now?
Okay, so she wanted to watch Dane
John,
Cook.
John just opened
Good
up
night,
about
everybody.
A whole, John just opened up about a whole lot of stuff going on.
So she put it in and it was not funny. So she took the DVD out of the case, put it into the DVR, closed the DVR, pressed play, and the movie it started. And
the fact that she owns it on DVD is sad.
So I was telling her, like, I hate this because, like, his jokes, the setups are like 15 minutes long, and then he tells a punchline, and like nobody even knows where the joke started, and it's just irritating and it's not funny. But this was what was it called? Isolated incident.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I saw the one where he was like in a circle in the middle of the stage, and there's people all around him, and it was horrible. And that's really the only one I saw. I think he's funny in movies.
Yeah, exactly. He's good in movies when somebody else is writing his material and it's quick and it's funny.
So I was telling her how I don't like it because of that, and she looks at me and she goes, "I tell a lot of stories." And so she looks at me and she goes, "John, it takes you 15 minutes to tell a joke to you." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You and Dane Cook have like the same exact style
delivery
on telling jokes." And I was like, "Well, I'm really glad you live on a third floor, because when I jump off your balcony now, I might actually not wake up." Like, telling me I'm like Dane Cook. It was highly insulting.
She just saved the world from John ever trying to perform stand-up again, because he just won't do that to people.
Yeah, it was it made me laugh. I laughed like three times. It was but I think I've seen it. I think what happened was I came home from a bar at like 3 a.m. and watched it drunk. And because there was like certain points where I was like, "Oh, I've heard that before."
It was probably somebody else's joke.
Unless he's like Carlo Mancini and people and stealing shit. I don't know. But I mean, I've heard some of them. But that has to be his best stand up ever, because it was actually a little entertaining. And then she pulled it out. And we watched something else.
And then you went and watched another movie.
So was that entire story a setup so you could say, "And then she pulled it out"?
Because it took like 5-6 minutes, and the payoff really wasn't there. And that's what she said too, I guess.
Thank you, Dane Cook. Dane Cook wrote that for me. That's why it wasn't fucking funny.
If I was ever compared to Dane Cook, I would just shut down my website. I'd be done.
He's actually, I guess he went out and was trying to perform at the whatever the club in LA is that he hangs out at, or that he got his start at. And
the
he
Laugh
was,
Factory or something?
The Laugh Factory in L.A., yeah. I guess he actually showed up, did like an hour and a half long set, and people were getting up and walking
an
out.
An hour and a half of the Laugh Factory? Usually you get up there, that's like a 10-minute, I got like three jokes I'm going to try out on people.
Yeah, but when guys like Dane Cook and the National guys actually come back and stand up there, they show up at like midnight just unannounced, and they do like hour and a half long sets to just try new material out. And I guess people were leaving and booing because it was the most politically incorrect, racist, misogynistic, just horrible, horrible stuff that he was talking about.
Kind of like this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds funny.
Which is why our numbers dwindle every week after we get off the air. It's
that's why we're so loved by the elderly. They can't hear us anyway.
they don't get the joke.
They just tune in. Don't worry, they can't hear it. They don't know I said it.
They thought it was hilarious because they just heard sounds. So was that pretty much all you did during the snow week? Snowpocalypse 2012?
Snowmageddon.
I have to go home and pick up my backyard because there's like, you know, just down trees everywhere.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's all I can remember. Becca, what'd you have going on?
Oh, well, this week was, for me, I've had my nose buried into Logic, which is...
Everybody in this room is
going to
say there's no way.
No, it's a digital audio workstation, and I've been working really hard on what's supposed to be an EP, but is very rapidly becoming a full-length album with all brand new material. So, and it's a lot different than my last album. So I'm really, really excited about it.
And I woke up the other morning with one of those songs stuck in my freaking head. I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Probably because she was singing it.
Well, that was part of it, but it was what was stuck in my head was so catchy that I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning with that just running through my brain. And I went down looking for sympathy, and she just got this big shit-eating grin on her face like, I wrote something that catchy?
She's downstairs singing. You wake up, you're like, it's stuck in my head. I can hear it.
That's probably
it, too. She's singing it, and you think you're a schizophrenic?
Yeah. So
I'm guessing you two both had pretty much the same thing going on this week.
Yeah, pretty much, because I haven't worked since Tuesday. I worked yesterday, but I had like the entire snow week off. I couldn't make it in on Wednesday. I've got a four-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive Subaru. I'm one of those bastards. And
but you stayed home.
I did stay home because I don't want some jackass plowing into the side of me that doesn't know how to drive in the snow. And the snow at our place got so high it was above the bottom of my car. And like you were talking about, I tried to move out of my driveway and I was just plowing stuff and I couldn't get any traction, and it was pretty ridiculous. Becca's mom went out and measured the snow at our place, and it was actually over 13 inches on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it was, I wasn't going anywhere. And then I was actually going to go to work on Friday. I had moved my car to a spot where I could get out, get to the main roads, and I was going to go on Friday. And Thursday night, my boss called me and said, yeah, we're closing the store tomorrow. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, now my car's somewhere. I can actually get out of the house and go do something on Friday. So about
you mean Becca's dad didn't get out there and shovel the 3/4 mile driveway?
Yeah, exactly. My boss is like, well, you better get a shovel. I'm like, have you been to my house? Like, there's no way in
hell.
Can
you send a snowplow, please?
Exactly. Actually, Becca's uncle got the backhoe out on Thursday afternoon and cleared a little bit of a path. Or no, I guess that was Friday. Friday afternoon, they got out the backhoe and started clearing a little bit of a path. But at that point, it was already raining. So the snow was melting anyhow. So it was kind of pointless, but it did help a little bit. On Friday, we finally got to venture out, went to the grocery store, and I was talking to the lady, the checker at the grocery store, and she's like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing good. How you doing? She goes, I am so glad to see people. And I'm like, I think that's kind of the way everybody is. And we were the lucky ones. We had power for most of the storm until Saturday morning when everybody else's power was being restored. All of a sudden, ours went out. And I swear that they took our power away to give it to somebody else.
Yeah, they were like, oh, there's only 10 houses on this road. Yeah. Let's cut these exactly. 10 houses and give these 20,000 people power.
I think that's what was happening.
You were the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, I think that's actually what ended up happening. On Saturday, I'll talk about it since Becca didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Becca actually had a show Saturday night. She's turning into John.
Except I wasn't drinking.
She came on. She pimped her new album. She talked about this. And she was excited
about her new album.
Yeah, she probably just didn't want to plug so much stuff like a.
Well, I had a show.
Like you're.
Yeah, she had a show with her acoustic trio that was actually it was really good.
Where was it?
Hollywood Casino, your favorite place.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm welcome back there.
Probably not.
I have never cussed out a security team like that and had them not do anything. I was throwing shit at them, and they didn't.
And it's a casino. Usually your voice raises any amount at a casino.
I was on the casino floor. It's not like I was at the entry door. I was at the casino floor throwing shit around, hollering at people, and the security guards just looked at me, and I walked off, and that was a.
Yeah, he had that, I only make $8.25 an hour, it's not worth it, look.
Did you guys, did I tell you guys about the dream I had that night? I don't know if I told you or not. So, I had a dream that, I walked out, because I just turned around and walked out, and Krista was still in there. And so I had a dream that they kidnapped Krista, right?
I think I remember this.
And they wouldn't let her go. I called the cops, and the cops came and searched, and she wasn't there. So I went and mounted up like it was Modern Warfare 3, and I came up in there with concussion grenades and AK-47s and taking shit down.
And, you better hope that place doesn't get robbed, because the cops are showing up at your door.
They go to my house. I got blueprints on the table laid out.
So then on Sunday, we went for our pool league. They're having the trophy and check presentation for the people that won 8-ball and 9-ball and all that. And we ended up winning. Our team won 8-ball, and they sent me a text message. They're like, we're having the trophy presentation Sunday at 4 o'clock, and I'm like, this is just wrong. They're going to make everybody else show up and watch the winners get their trophies, because usually they'll just hand you a check a couple weeks later or whatever they do, or they'll meet up with you, but they're actually going to make everybody that didn't win watch you get your trophy and watch you win your money.
A trophy presentation. Man, I haven't lost a session of pool like as a team.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. And I don't remember trophy presentations since I was like 13 years old playing football. I mean,
well, cuz Ed, the guy that runs the league that we're in down here in King County,
I don't even remember getting a trophy.
He doesn't give us trophies. He gives us the money that he would spend on the trophies.
I got a trophy from when I was playing in Oregon for like a high winning percentage or something. It was just a little plaque. But
and if it gives you any idea of the caliber of play, the difference in caliber of players up north and down south in the leagues that we play in.
Did you have a high winning percentage?
I was the MVP for my.
Oh my goodness! Talk about going and raking in the chumps.
Because I think I ended up being like 8-11 during the season, and I had I ended up being 9-11 as when it was all said and done.
Well, you're also talking about people that playing like down in King County.
That is a horrible record. I think you have it wrong.
Right? You know who else? I think you.
Wow.
I think you were 9-4-11. 9-11.
Yeah, I was not. Yeah, you're right. I was 9-2. 46%
of your matches.
I was 9-2.
There you go.
That's what I was trying to think of.
I was like, damn, that's a long session. And you're the MVP? 46% winning percentage?
I'm shooting at 46%, and I'm the MVP. Mike, we always ask our guests what they had going on during the week.
Well, I think, too, John's earlier story reminded me of something. We were at the office on Tuesday, and it had snowed a bit in the city. But they were predicting the really big snow overnight. And someone at work, I forget who, it could have been my office mate, but I don't want to say that for sure in case she listens and then gets mad at me. Someone
it's
at
bound
work,
to happen.
But a female, I know it was a woman, said, well, if I wake up to 8 inches tomorrow, I'm staying in bed. And I just lost it. I could not hold it together at work. And I'm surprised that I didn't wind up in HR, frankly. But the other great story about this week is Metro is always fun. I was on a bus going home from work. There were these teenagers sitting in the middle of the bus and talking very loud because they're teenagers. And they were very, very drunk. And one says, yes, well, we're only drinking all this alcohol because it makes the methadone not show up on the test. I was like, wow. You guys are going places.
First of all, the fact that they know that.
Right?
When I was selling cars, we had a guy that...
I thought you were going to say, when you were doing methadone.
Yeah. When I was selling cars, I worked with a guy that he was a heroin addict. And he would wake up in the morning, he would shoot heroin, and then he would ride his motorcycle to the methadone clinic, take his methadone, and then ride his motorcycle to work. Now, if you don't know what heroin does, it puts you to sleep. And so, like, this guy would fall asleep talking to you. You'd be sitting there talking to him, and he would close his eyes and look at the ground, and then, like, you'd be like, what the hell is going on? And 10 seconds later, he looks up, just snaps right back into the conversation. Yeah, so what I was saying was, like, and you're like, what just happened? You just fell asleep. And this guy rode a motorcycle to work and back every single day. It was, I'm sure, don't worry, because I'm sure he's dead now. Don't worry about it. He was.
So for the listeners that live in Seattle, I ride the number 7. That's my bus. And that should mean something to you if you live in Seattle. And earlier, another bus and drugs story.
There's probably a lot of them in downtown Seattle.
Right. Well, the 7 isn't so bad during commuting hours, but on Thursday I wound up going to work because I didn't get the message not to come in until I was already at work. That made me happy. So on Friday when my boss couldn't make it, I said, you know what? I worked the holiday and I worked half a day yesterday. I'm going to slack off for most of the day and go home early. And she goes, okay. So worked out in my favor, I guess. Anyways, I'm on the way home on Thursday, outside of commuting hours, waiting to get on the bus. People were getting off, and that's how you roll. You wait for everyone to get off, and then you get on. And there's this lady behind me kind of crowding the line a bit. And so the last person gets off, and I start forward. She pushes past me to get on the bus first and then pays in cash, which always upsets me. Because I have the card, I just swipe on the reader, and I'm like, I will be out of your way in 1 second, but you're making me wait like 3 minutes for you because you're paying cash, you stupid woman. Anyways, she took the last seat in the front of the bus, so I had to sit in the back of the bus. And everyone knows the back of the bus has not been legit since high school. Okay? If you're sitting in the back of the bus, you're up to no good. So I'm just sitting back there reading my graphic novel, Sandman series right now, actually. It's a pretty fun series. And I just looked up at the wrong time. I saw one man hand another man a little white envelope, and then the other man handed that man back some cash. That was a crack deal.
Well, now, maybe that he was just buying some seasoning, like oregano or...
Not in that size of an envelope.
Or maybe he was paying his rent.
Right.
Right.
Because everybody passes envelopes back and forth to pay their bills anymore.
So I got to play the game, where do I direct my eyes to have the least chance of getting stabbed?
You would have got shot, not stabbed at that point.
Who sells drugs in envelopes?
On a bus, right? Wait till you get
in
off.
In the Rainier Valley.
I mean, if you do... If,
yeah, that's true. Mike lives in the valley.
If it's a crack sack, make it a crack sack.
Ironically, right now, because of the snows and because the Rainier Valley is the poorest part of Seattle, pretty much. Maybe CD Rainier Valley. It's a toss-up. Anyways, ironically, I was going about my business in town yesterday, and pretty much all the neighborhoods have been cleared. A lot of the roads were bare and dry. Except for my neighborhood, there's still snow everywhere. So I realized this is the only time in the year that the Rainier Valley is the whitest part of Seattle.
And on that note...
Do we have an intern to make me a drink?
I think that's Dad's
intern.
Job, isn't it?
Hey, intern. Put down Angry Birds. Can you make me a drink, please?
We're going to go ahead and get back into the music. We've got Shoddy coming up with Generalize on the Family Meeting.
I saw you by my window.
This is Mike Smith, creator of Life Without Robots, and you're listening to The Family Meeting on NWCZRadio.com.
Back to the family meeting. That was Shell Shock Lullaby with Different Stories.
And now more random crap nobody cares about. The news with Krista.
With Becca.
Yay. So I found some very interesting news stories, and I want to share them with you people.
That's
so,
good, because that's your segment.
Yeah.
That's your job.
That's what happens when you fill in for Krista.
Well, yay. Okay. So the first story that I have is that there's this guy in Thailand who was so in love with his girlfriend, and then she passed away, that he decided he was going to marry her. So the guy marries his dead girlfriend.
Well, of course, that's like the, I mean, who doesn't want to go to a bar and be like, who doesn't want to go to a bar and be like, I love my wife so much, but she died. That is instant action. That's like having a puppy at a beach.
Okay, but she died before he got a chance to marry
her. You ain't going
to
tell people that. I mean, that's...
You hope not. Any chick you could pick up from that line, you don't really want to be with.
This guy actually took video of the ceremony.
Well, no. Oh, of the ceremony. I was going to say, any other video I don't want to see.
What did he, like, write chalk art on the ground and then lay her down and lay next to it? Look like he was standing in a temple or something?
How could that be a legal marriage? She obviously couldn't say I do.
She could not say I do.
Exactly the point, yes.
Yeah, this may be just like forced and coerced, and you never know.
This was in Thailand. I mean, fuck, they.
Yeah, that's true. Their rules are probably different over there.
Marry a goat doesn't.
I mean, she was pretty much human.
If you're from Thailand, I you might not be able to marry a goat. I don't know. I just threw that out there.
So I think
send your emails to John.
I think, and I realize I'm the guest here, but I think you guys have a new segment on your hands: dating tips with John.
I don't think we need that segment. We'll all end up in jail.
I think we do. It's already called, what is it, Bambino?
Yeah, the Bambino questions. There seem to be a lot of relationship questions coming his way.
Most important thing is just to have somebody one phone call away with enough money to bail you out. And that's the most important tip I can give you.
There is no Miss Perfect. There's just Miss Who Can Put Up With My Bullshit. That's, that's all you're going to find.
Amen.
Miss, please bail me out of jail.
Yeah, I'd pretty much say that's what marriage is all about.
That hurts.
Oh, no.
What's the next story?
All right.
Becca's over here with like her little top 40s voice. Like she's a...
Hi.
Yes, this is all... This is a
well, I've had about 6 weeks of practice with...
Oh, here's where she pimps her show.
With Ebb and Flow.
Just plug that
Sunday
shit.
Nights at 8 o'clock on NWCZRadio.com.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far. I was just going to mention it briefly off the cuff.
Talk about her sister.
All right, what's the next story?
Okay, the next one is Vancouver, British Columbia. Some guy decided that he was going to buy 10 iPads and then take out the iPads and then replace the iPads with some modeling clay, like way out so that they were about the same weight and everything, and then resell them to the store. And he did it with cash, so... There's no paper trail.
Yeah, the guy bought the iPads with cash and returned them to the store for cash.
I mean, I don't... if
repackaged them.
If you return something here in America, if you return a candy bar, a 99-cent candy bar, they want your ID and driver's license. They want to take your information down. I mean,
Canadians are just too nice. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. I would have had to put a note on there like, gotcha, bitch.
He probably carved it into modeling clay.
Looked on the iPad, like www.igotscrewed.com right on the iPad.
How does it feel, you hoser?
Exactly.
Y'all Canadians get that one.
Moving on elsewhere in the world, in South Africa, apparently if you are...
Very much south of Africa.
Well, the country South Africa.
She said south of Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
There were some penguins and shit, and they got in a fight.
Same difference.
Somebody stole some ice cubes.
So in South Africa, if you are if you're an unauthorized weather forecaster, you get 10, and you're running around, you would get jail time for 10 years for running around telling people the weather.
What the hell is an unauthorized weather forecaster?
Don't they call those shaman? I mean, aren't they still on like tribes and shit down there? Like
not in South Africa. South Africa.
South
is like,
Africa.
South Africa is like an actual country that Africa is an actual country. But South
no,
Africa
that would
is
be
like
a continent.
Yes, it's a continent. Thank you for allowing them to be a country. By the way,
I don't mean to cut you off, but we need to wrap this thing up, guys.
Okay, well, make sure you hit us up on Facebook at the family meeting. Send us all of your Thailand and South America hate mail. If we offend, I don't know if we offended, but if I offend anybody, because that's usually who offends people. Hit me up on Twitter at John Curtis 316. I expect to be drinking heavily next week, and I will be putting some pretty funny shit up there, although I will have to check in the morning to see what I put. So, John Curtis 316.
My Twitter is Jason Curtis 925.
My Curtis.
Your Curtis is Twitter.
My Twitter is Rebecca Ann Music at, yeah.
Plug.
And what's the website where people can check you out?
Lifewithoutrobots.com.
And it's Mike Smith. Thanks for stopping by.
It's a funny website. Make sure you go there.
Yeah, make sure you do your homework before you do, because some of the jokes are pretty heady. also, make sure you keep listening. The Aquarium with Kingfish is coming up next. Chance is coming up with the Northwest Metal Zone. And check us out next Tuesday. We'll be back.
And on Sunday, you can listen to Ebb and Flow.
8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, yes.
Dream.